नको काम करतो मी, तो आधी स्लो होतं आहे नाही का, लावू नको. अरे अरे ना नको कर, सांगितलं करत नाही का ग.
Welcome to Chorus Call. Operator. Welcome to Chorus Call. Please hold for an operator.
Full name?
Yeah, Arvind Naukar from Arden Investment. Can you do pre-call limited conference call?
Yeah.
Arvind for
the Arden conference Investment. Is now being recorded. Thank you.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I am Rituja, moderator for this conference. Welcome to the conference call of Precall Limited, arranged by Concept Investor Relations to discuss its Q4 and FY21 results. We have with us today Mr. Vikram Mohan, Managing Director, Mr. Krishnamurthy Pattabhiraman, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. P.M. Ganesh, Chief Marketing Officer, and Mr. Siddharth Manohar, Head Strategy and Special Projects. At this moment, all participants are in listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question and answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Now, I would like to hand over the phone to Mr. Vikram Mohan, Managing Director. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rituja. A very good evening. And my colleagues as well. I do hope that all of you are safe and sound and your families are secure in these difficult times. I'd like to welcome you for the presentation on our results for the last quarter and the financial year that has just ended on 31st March 2021. A presentation has been uploaded and I do hope that all of you had a chance to go through the presentation. At the end of the presentation, we will have a question and answer session where my colleagues and I would be happy to take your questions. Prior to getting into the presentation, I'd like to share a few words about our performance in the last quarter and more importantly, on the year gone by. The last quarter from January to March of 2021 did see some headwinds as the company is very dependent on import of electronics and there has been a global electronic shortage and shortage of child parts like ICs on account of the global demand and supply scenario. In fact, it has been extremely acute and we could have realized at least about between 25 to 30 crore higher sales for the quarter gone by. And also our EBITDA could have been about 1% higher for the quarter gone by, if not for this shortage and huge surge pricing in the price of ICs. Whilst we have been able to recover a large majority of this price increase from our customers, the overall shortage has resulted in loss of production, not just for us, but for the OEMs in the industry. Prices of essential commodities have also reached record highs and is expected to continue to remain at these levels. These do not have a significant impact on the company because these are indexed and as part of our indexation policy, and with a time lag, these monies will come back to the company. In the first quarter of FY21, as all of you know, in the first wave of Corona and the lockdown, the company had very minimal output and lost more than 2 months of production. And the full year operation results for FY21 essentially represents about 9.5 months of operation and not really a 12 month operation. Furthermore, we expect these disruptions to continue and remain and supply shortages all the way going until September 2022, and this is going to be the order of the day, compounded by the lockdowns happening in different parts of the country, which are going to also affect production and offtake from OEMs because of closure of dealerships in different parts of the state. Overall, we are happy to announce that our company has performed much better than the market. This has been primarily enabled by introduction of new products, product lines, introduction of new capacities, and increased share of business from our customers and overall market share increase. This has also been compounded by prudent cost control and productivity management and selective automation, which has helped us improve our earnings overall as a company and improve our EBITDA. I would like to jump to the slide which shows the quarterly highlights from a standalone basis. The revenue from operations has been indicated in a slide quarter-wise. Similarly, the operational EBITDA and the profit before tax and the profit after tax. Specifically referring to the profit after tax, for Q4 of FY21, I am sure many of you will have questions as to why the profit after tax for the quarter that has just gone by is extremely low. I would request at the end of my talk for our CFO to specifically dwell on this subject and explain to you, as it is a non-cash item and is not cash depleting. Similarly, on the yearly highlights, the revenue from operations has grown from 1,139 crores to 1,336 crores, albeit on a 9.5 months of operation. The EBITDA has sharply jumped from 98 crores to 178 crores, and we are very confident of maintaining such EBITDA levels in the months to come once stability comes back to the industry come September 2022. The profit before tax, we have gone back into the black as we have divested all of our loss-making subsidiaries and have a much cleaner balance sheet. The profit after tax figure is fairly low, which again our CFO will be explaining in detail. Our revenue from operations compared to Q4 of 20 has grown by about 59%, because Q4 of 20 also saw selective shutdowns because of COVID. And for the entire year, compared to FY20, we have grown at around 17.3%, whereas the market has degrown. The next slide talks about the profit and loss from operations, which has been graphically depicted earlier. And an important point to be noted is the EBITDA that has accrued from operations. It is about 133 crores versus 113 crores in the prior period for the entire year. From a cash profit and free cash flow, which is what I would like to dwell on, we have made a cash profit of 137.66 crores in the year gone by, as against about 69.64 crores in the prior year, which is FY20. And our free cash flow generation has, after capex, has gone up substantially to about 108 crores versus 16 crores in the prior period. As I mentioned in the earlier calls, we are going to be capex light mode for FY22 also, as we have incurred significant capex in the prior years, FY18 and 19, to enable all the new business. And we will be capex light and be able to generate a decent amount of free cash. This free cash has helped us also pare down our debt and control our working capital, which is giving us a lot of resilience in this particular quarter when there are a lot of lockdowns and shutdowns of the industry. I hope all of you are clear about the balance sheet, both for the standalone and the consolidated. Our CFO will be able to answer questions specifically if you all may have on that. With regard to the long-term borrowings of the company, on account of free cash generation, we have been able to pare down our borrowings overall from 343 crores to about 229 crores, including working capital borrowings. The consolidated borrowings, including the subsidiary companies, which is Precall Indonesia and Precall Wiping Systems India, stands at around 247 crores, which gives us a comfortable debt equity ratio and comfortable debt TSCRs as well. The overall total income, and specifically we are using the term continued operations here, because as you are aware, in the month of August 2020, we divested our operations in the Czech Republic, and that this reflects only the operations which are continuing and non-divested. So from a total revenue standpoint, these figures represent our operations in India, Indonesia, and the wiping system subsidiary in India. With regard to the EBITDA from the continuing operations, we have generated an EBITDA of about 135.89 crores for this. We have generated a revenue of 1,359.94 crores. and with an EBITDA of 13.68%. Going into some key parameters like the quarterly sales, in the January to March quarter, the vehicle production, which is given by SIAM and ATMA data, various sectors of the business have grown quarter to quarter. We are talking of Q4 FY21 versus Q4 FY20. The two-wheeler and three-wheeler industry by 26.59%, whereas recalls growth was about 63.34%. The four-wheeler industry grew by 22.96%. We grew by 42.21%. This is also because we started from a low base, and the two-wheeler, our growth is higher because of the introduction of the new products, namely the FPM. Commercial vehicles grew by 48.73%, whereas pre-call has grown by 203%. This is because we are becoming an increasingly important player in the commercial vehicle business, and we will have a very large share of business going forward in the years to come as we have won a significant amount of business away from competition. In the off-road vehicle business, which is a small number, the industry grew at 39.32%, and we have grown by 50.57%. And in tractors, we have more or less grown in par with the industry. Overall, we have grown at around 70% vis-a-vis about 27.9% growth in the industry. Specifically on exports, our actual growth was to the tune of about 23%. But because of the disruption and the Suez Canal blockages in the month of March, we were forced to reverse a lot of bill of ladings, though the material had been shipped, and that will get reflected in this quarter. So the actual growth was 23%, but because of the reversal of bill of lading, we landed up with a 2% figure. Exports will continue to be an area of growth, and we have subsequently also won a lot of new business in the export arena. Segment-wise, we are still predominantly a two-wheeler and a three-wheeler dependent company. And going forward, the numbers on the two-wheelers will reduce and the numbers of the commercial vehicles and the four-wheelers will increase as we have increased our business on those segments. And on the product-wise segmentation, about 65% comes from the driver information system. This number also will go down as we increase our business on the pumps and mechanical products vertical, primarily on the exports and the fuel pump module. On a yearly sales basis, year-on-year comparison, overall the industry degrew by about 12.48% on account of the pandemic and the lockdowns in the first wave, whereas we have managed a growth of about 17.3%. Again, the next slide gives you the segment-wise sales, the sectors versus the product-wise breakup. The next slide is specifically reflecting on month-on-month comparison for the same months in FY20 versus FY21. And if you notice, from the month of April and May were very negligible months, and we started catching up from the month of July. And from thereafter, we have had significant growth over the prior year. I would like to congratulate our business development and technology team. Our company continues to invest very heavily in technology, which has helped us win a lot of new business. And some of the new electronic digital cluster businesses that we have won across various two-wheeler customers are given in this slide. The next slide talks about some of the MCD, TFT, and electronic vehicle clusters that have also been productionalized in this quarter. And this is going to see a lot of traction going forward. The next slide shows our passenger vehicle and CV clusters. We will have a 70% share of business from the Tata Motors group going forward, and this will help increase our four-wheeler portfolio of business. We have also added a few other four-wheeler portfolio customers, which I will request our Chief of Marketing, Mr. Ganesh, to dwell upon. We have also increased our share of business in the commercial vehicle space with Volvo Eicher, Ashok Leyland, and Tata Motors and Force Motors, and some of them are electronic clusters as well. The fuel pump module, which has added significant turnover for us this year, for which two plants have also got added in the south and the north, are shown in the next slide, what we are doing for TVS and for Hero Motor Corp. And we are also developing a new range of pumps for Bajaj and few other customers. Pardon me. This vertical today has a significant amount of import dependence from China, and the company is actively working, and over the next 12 months, we will be able to localize a lot of the key import parts, thereby reducing our forex outflow. One of the new and prestigious export launches is for the Peugeot Citroën Group to Morocco, which is also an electronic instrument cluster for a city commuter vehicle that we have won, and some export launches for JCB and New Holland for Turkey and UK markets. We have consciously grown our export business on the pumps division, on the very heavy-duty pumps, and some of the pumps that we have developed for Polaris and Generac are shown in the next slide. These are going to significantly contribute to export revenue. The next slide shows pumps that we have developed for Caterpillar, very, very large pumps, even weighing to the tune of about 80 kilos per pump, quite complex pumps. And Caterpillar business has kicked off, and the volumes will grow in the next 2 to 3 years, which will see significant growth in the exports revenue. And some of the other products developed for Harley Davidson, Ducati in Italy, and BMW in Germany. These leisure segment and high-performance bikes will continue to be powered by conventional IC engines in the foreseeable future as performance bikes before they get converted to EV. So we do not expect to see any business disruption in these sectors. Some of the sensors that we have developed for export customers for Volvo and Class. And the next is the domestic launch for the Peugeot Citroën Group, the 2-liter water pump and the Girotor oil pump, the 2-liter. These have been, a lot of these pumps we have been able to develop thanks to our investment in Brazil many years ago, which helped us imbibe all the technology. And all whilst we lost a lot of money and we were luckily able to divest the business last year, all the learnings and the technology from there have been used to develop all the business in the last few slides that you have seen. Some of the domestic launches and a very new technology pump is also the variable displacement vane type oil pump, which is a very complex new generation pump, which has also been developed in-house. I'm very proud to say that all the above developments that you have seen have been completely developed in-house with indigenous technology, with no technical support or technical collaboration whatsoever from any other agency. And that reflects why a significant portion of our spend continues to be on technology and process development, which helps us develop these products at a very cost-effective manner, including cost-effective processes, helping us maintain EBITDA and a lead in the market. The next slide reflects on the automotive industry, and the source is the ICRA report published in May. This report did not take into account the effects of the second wave of COVID, which, as all of you know, has been far more disruptive than the first wave of COVID. We are happy to report, whilst we have had a lot of COVID cases across the various employees and plants of the company, we have not had a single fatality, and we have a COVID relief cell working to help the employees constantly, and continuous immunization drives, where over 50% of the employees have been completed vaccination. And we do hope with a little more availability of vaccinations that by the month of July, we will be able to complete the vaccinations across all our employees, across all our plants. We assumed that the disruption in the industry is going to be not so heavy, but considering the quantum of the second wave, the disruption has been very, very brutal. And we have seen loss of sales from April. May and June months will be rather bad as most of the OEMs have huge shutdowns and most dealer points are closed. And we do expect a recovery in the industry from July. The tractor segment also is expected to be be a little slow this year because of the domestic, in spite of good monsoons, there is an agricultural output slump because there has been no offtake because of the lockdowns, and the industry reports that the tractor industry may grow only 3.5%. Excuse me. Some of the other factors that will continue to plague the automotive industry this year are the shortage of semiconductors, steel pricing, steel and commodity prices seeing an all-time high. These will not have a significant impact on the earnings of the company, but the semiconductor shortage will not have a significant impact on the earnings of the company, but will have an impact on the sales of the company as the lead times have increased to 32 weeks for the supply, which will result in higher inventories and some supply dynamics. Overall, industry experts predict a hockey stick recovery like what happened after the first lockdown. So we do sincerely hope and we are fully geared up to meet that sort of a demand when the industry revives from July and goes back to some degree of stability after September. The next slide talks about the estimates for the two-wheeler segments. Of course, this slide was prepared with data compiled as of March and released in May, not taking into account the second wave of COVID. But these are the recent reports we have, and we expect the growth to be a little slower than this on account of the second wave. Similarly, on the passenger vehicle and the commercial vehicle sector. Only thing, the hockey stick recovery will be delayed by a few months compared to what this report has to say. Coming to the tractor segment, they are predicting a very low growth, again, because of the challenges because of the pandemic. We do hope that all of you have gone through the presentation and we are happy to take questions. But prior to taking questions, I will request Mr. Krishnamurthy, our CFO, to explain specifically on the lower profit after tax for Q1 of FY21 and how it is a non-cash item. Krishnamurthy, over to you, please. After Krishnamurthy finishes, I will also request Ganesh to give a five-minute presentation on the business prospects for the company and the outlook for the industry on the whole, after which we will move on to questions. Thank you for your patient hearing.
Thank you, Mr. Vikram. This is Krishnamurthy. As our MD, Mr. Vikram, mentioned, the profit after tax for the year is substantially low. And if I talk in terms of numbers, for a profit before tax of 46 crores, we have made a provision of close to 32 crores in terms of tax. This is substantially high, and the obvious reason is our taxable profit is much more than what the book profit which you have disclosed in our financials. There are two major reasons for that. One is our IT depreciation is much lower than the book depreciation because our IT depreciation follows the gross block concept as per income tax rules and the written down value method. This is close to 33 crores is the impact because of this. And the second reason is one of disallowance which you have consciously taken with respect to certain expenditure for our overseas subsidiaries, which we, on a conservative basis, we thought it may be a point of contention with the income tax authorities, and therefore we have taken it as a non-taxable item and provided for tax in this. As a result of this, our taxable profit has gone up to close to 96 crores, for which we had to make a provision for tax. But looking at these two major impacts, the depreciation is a temporary impact, timing difference, because as we go along and we start making investments, our depreciation, tax depreciation will also go up, and it may not continue in the future years. And the other one is a conscious decision which we have taken so that we do not get a impact that the retrospective has an effect in the future. But we propose to take a professional view on this before we file the return and take a conscious call as to whether we can claim it as a taxable expenditure also. But looking at the total provision of close to 33 crores which you have made in the books, none of this is will be a cash outflow item, because the entire value will get adjusted against the MAT credit which you already are carrying in our books based on the book profits we made in the past years for which we have already paid the tax. So although we made a provision of 33 crores in the books for the tax, their cash outflow on account of tax for the current year will be nil, and you will see the impact in our cash profits and cash generation also, which continues to be healthy, which you will see as part of the presentations made by Mr. Vikram. I hope I made the point clear. Now over to Mr. Ganesh to make his presentation.
Good evening to all. And our managing director has already explained in detail about the business scenario and the new business wins. I'll only touch upon certain key areas in the presentation which would be of interest. Precol has been working on the connected vehicle solutions since the last 3 years. In fact, the first connected vehicle solution was launched by Precol for TVS Motor in the year 2018 for the N-Torque model. Thereupon, Precol has been working with a number of connected vehicle solutions across various segments. And what you see is the Suzuki in one of the slides, where we have just launched the connected vehicle solution with Suzuki for their entire scooter models. These instrument clusters are BS6 and also EV ready. It means that we are future ready. And also you can see on the right hand side where we have launched the next generation of instrument cluster, which is the TFT cluster, which is going to be the future technology on the instrument cluster or driver information systems, where we have launched two TFT clusters for TVS. One is for their first ever electric scooter, which was launched during last year at Bengaluru, which has Precol TFT cluster. You can bring number of dynamic displays, which has won lot of acclaim during last year. And also on the left bottom, you could see the Apache RR 310, a racing motorcycle of TVS, which has been built on the TVS BMW platform, launched with the next generation TFT clusters. I would also like to highlight on the export wins, where we have made some significant inroads into some of the export customers like the PSA, where we have launched our first instrument cluster, which is EV for the EV vehicle application, which we have started to export to PSA Morocco. As we speak, we have become a global supplier to PSA for both the driver information system instruments and also for the oil and water pumps. Again, JCB, where we have shown the next generation TFT clusters, which we have started exporting to JCB to their headquarters in UK. We are a global supplier again to JCB for the next generation instrument clusters. I'll also briefly touch upon Caterpillar. Caterpillar, as you may know, is the largest in the world for making off-road vehicles and construction equipments. We have won a major business with Caterpillar for the heavy-duty water pumps. Like our managing director explained, these are very uniquely manufactured water pumps and they are weighing more than 80 kilograms. There are a number of oil and water pump programs that we are working with Caterpillar. The Harley-Davidson, again, is a global business that we have won. And we have started manufacturing the oil and water pumps for Harley Global from our facility in Indonesia. This facility would cater to the ASEAN manufacturing center of Harley and also to the US. You can also see that some of the leisure motorcycles like Ducati and BMW, we have made major inroads in the oil pump and water pump. That is why our managing director was explaining that the percentage of the pumps and mechanical products would grow when compared to the instrument cluster as a percentage. I will last touch upon the PSA business, a breakthrough business which we have won into the passenger car after we have become a global supplier to Renault Nissan during the year 2016. This is a very major breakthrough for Precol to manufacture both the existing technology and also the next generation technology, which is the variable displacement pump, which would be produced in India by PSA, and majority of the engines would be exported back to global countries. So our variable displacement pump would be used for the global market by PSA. About the sector review, our managing director has already explained about the headwinds that are expected to be there. We have started seeing that the sales has been disrupted starting from April because of closure of number of OEMs, and also the dealer points also has been closed. So we expect muted sale to continue to happen in June also. So we have to wait and see how the recovery is going to happen from July onwards. Thank you once again.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from your question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to limit your questions to one per participant. If you have a follow-up question, you may rejoin the queue. And to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rajkumar V, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking the question. Am I audible?
Yes, please, Mr. Rajkumar. If you can be a little louder, we'd appreciate it.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yes, please.
Okay. So two questions. So one of the slides you mentioned about the telematics solutions. I just want to know what is the contribution that you're getting from telematics, and given that there are a lot of software companies also into this domain, I want to know what niche Precol has on this segment.
Mr. Rajkumar, telematics is a growing business, and at this point of time, the slice of the pie is quite small, though we are the lead player in this industry. We primarily play on the hardware side. Having said that, we have also have about 72 software engineers in the company as we speak, and growing a number that will see 100 plus people mark in the before the end of this financial year. Having said that, we also intend buying a strategic stake in an automotive software company, not just for the telematic solutions, but also for the instrument clusters or the driver information systems, which is increasingly being software driven. In fact, many of the clusters that were shown in the presentation are all driven by software. We are primarily a hardware company with software capabilities. So that way we are able to offer an integrated solution. And we believe the telematics and the instrument cluster is going to become an integrated device going forward as an asset management tool.
Yeah, I agree with you. Sir, I mean, if you also
see the software content in a vehicle... Mr. Rajakumar, may we request you to please rejoin the queue? We have participants waiting for their turn.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shashank Kanodia from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, Mr. Mohan, you mentioned in your initial remarks regarding, winning a substantial share of business from Tata Motors from competition. So could you please elaborate a little bit more on it, as in, you know, why did competition really exit Tata Motors and what were the USPs that we could offer to Tata Motors?
Okay, I'll have to dial back in history a little bit. Many years ago, we had joint ventures with Denso and joint ventures with Johnson Control, primarily to cater to the four-wheeler and, in the instrument cluster space. When Johnson Control got sold to Visteon, we were forced to exit that joint venture. And when we exited that joint venture, we had a five-year non-compete clause. Similarly, when the joint venture with Denso elapsed, we had a five-year non-compete clause. At the end of the five-year clause, we made a comeback with Frugal Engineering. Again, it is our investment in engineering and technology that helped us be cost competitive. And after the non-compete clause was over, we made a comeback in Tata Motors and now PSA, and we are hoping to add a few more customers.
Thank you.
I hope that answers your question, Mr. Kanodia.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Vipul Shah from Sumangal Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I just want to know the margins for this two-wheeler and two-wheeler business and margins for the four-wheeler business. Are they different? Logically, margins in the four-wheeler business should be higher. And as you have commented that that part of business will grow over the next 2-3 years. So your comments, please.
Yes, the two-wheeler business, the mechanical clusters and the electronic clusters and the electronic entry-level clusters have got commoditized and have single-digit margins. Followed by increased margins, the next level of margins are contributed by the TFT and the next-gen clusters. Followed by the four-wheeler clusters, which are not yet commoditized and software-rich, and the commercial vehicle clusters, which have higher margins, and followed by the highest margins given by our exports business, where we are having cost economies of scale, and businesses that are going to grow, especially the businesses like Caterpillar, Ducati, etc., which Ganesh was pointing out in his presentation and also in my presentation.
So what should be percentage-wise...
General percentage, because it's customer-wise basis, volumes, which plant it is manufactured under. Certain plants are lower cost for the company, the newer plants where there's more automation. Some of the older plants, especially the plants in Coimbatore, which have historical costs of higher costs of labor, etc., and older plants contribute to lower margin. So then, then I'll have to go into segment-wise, plant-wise, customer-wise profitability, which is, of course, something at an executive level we do analyze. But overall, as a company, this is the, starting from a 6-7% margin for electronic clusters going up to as high as 22% for the export pumps.
Thank you. May we request Mr. Vipul Shah to rejoin the queue?
I'll come back in the queue. Yeah, sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ramanath, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. I congratulate you and your team for an excellent result this year. Now, my question is, sir, regarding this other operating revenue, we have been consistently showing some other operating revenue to the tune of approximately around 54 crores. Can you please elaborate on that, sir?
Thank you very much for the kind words, Mr. Ramnath, and we do hope that we continue to outperform the market. The other operating revenue is primarily from the sales of fuel from our fuel station located in Coimbatore, which is one of the highest selling fuel stations in the Coimbatore district. And that is classified for the auditors as other operating revenue, which was about 60 crores in the year FY20 and about 52.76 crores in FY21. And some the others are small amounts of export incentives that we get. But the bulk of it is from the fuel sales of the fuel station.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mukesh Sheth, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I just wanted to understand in this second wave that has hit us in terms of COVID, what is the number of production days that we have lost? I mean, for how long or what has the impact been in terms of production days?
As of now, it's hovering at around nearly 45%, Mr. Sheth, but seeing the situation in Coimbatore, which is one of the worst affected in the country as we stand today, and the situation has yet to peak, we expect June also to get our southern plants to get disrupted badly, but our northern plants and western plants are recovering. But we have planned for a similar situation like May, where the northern and western plants were affected and southern plants lesser affected. But at the very least, in the months of May and June, 50% would be a realistic estimate.
Okay, noted. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Not just because of, it's three reasons, again, I'd like to elaborate here. One is shutdown of OEMs, thereby resulting in sudden change in demand. Second is shutdown of our own plants because of, employees contracting COVID. And third is shutdown of our key suppliers, either because of COVID or because of lockdowns. So all are interconnected, but I believe that a reasonable estimate would be we would be losing not less than 50% in May and June.
Okay. Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nilesh Shah from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on a good performance. I just want to basically understand that, the year gone by, you said you were operational only for 9.5 months, and it's quite possible that FY22 could end up being a similar year in terms of the effective months of operation. Knowing the situation today, what's the outlook for FY22? Do you think that we've had a great FY21. Do you think FY22 would end up being kind of a similar year, both in terms of our overall revenues and margins? And the second question I want to understand also that we now have a different margin trajectory versus our previous years
minute,
in the past.
Mr. Shah, can I just take your question one at a time, please? So
yeah, sure. Please.
The first question. Yeah. I wish I had clarity, or my team had clarity. In fact, I've been constantly talking to my colleagues in the industry, and the situation is a little uncertain. Both COVID and a new problem that we did not have last year, or for the vast majority of last year, the shortage of ICs, especially affecting companies like ourselves and Bosch, Lumax, a couple of companies that have a lot more electronic content compared to the metal forming companies. Now, the lead times for select ICs have gone up to 32 weeks, and we are unable to predict a 32-week supply and demand situation. The industry is hoping that by July, we would have a much better understanding of what the industry is going to hold out for the rest of the year. And hopefully, the third wave, which is predicted in October, will not be as disruptive as the second wave. In fact, if you ask me, the second wave perhaps has been the most disruptive for industry, even compared to the first wave. This is going to have two impacts: inventory and strain on working capital is going to be there because of the long lead time and stock, forcing us to have stock of items and then suddenly losing sales because of change in demand, A. and B, the overall price impact of cargo and freight and the shortage of ICs resulting in premium prices, while we are able to recover about 85% of it from the customer on a goodwill basis, we are also absorbing some of it. This will definitely have an impact on the margin by anywhere between 150 to 200 basis points is our estimate. One advantage that we had last year is there were no salary increases to any of the employees, which normally is done in July of every year. Last year, because of the lockdown, and we had a discussion with our employees and we decided that we will not give any salary increases. But there has been a lot of personal disruptions for people also in the second wave of COVID. So to keep the employee morale up, and especially when the company is growing at a fast clip, and we have also won a lot more new businesses which are getting productionized this year, we have gone ahead with the salary increases in the month of April, which will impact the employee cost if the sales base is slow. Having said all of this, the Delta new business that we have added will definitely see us doing a significantly higher number this year compared to FY22 compared to FY21, albeit with anywhere up to 150 to 200 points or 1.5 to 2% EBITDA impact because of these disruptions and increased costs, which may not be recoverable. I'm saying may not be recoverable because a lot of the OEMs are also limping back, and I think we'll have a lot more clarity only in the month of July.
May I request Mr. Nadesha to please join the queue? We have participants waiting for their turn.
Best wishes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raj Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Mr. Rajakumar, please go ahead with the question. Your line is unmuted.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, Mr. Rajakumar.
Yeah, sir, this question is for the CFO. Sir, your explanation of this tax increase, you were talking about some income tax deposition, book deposition and all that. So I thought all those should get offset with your deferred tax. So I think if you may kind of relook at and give a better explanation, offline I can send you an email, that would be really helpful, sir, because this charge is too high, and it cannot be due to your changes in your book deposition and IT deposition. It should be primarily on account of some expense here to which you are taking a call that it may not be allowable as a reduction from a tax standpoint.
Can I request our CFO, Mr. Krishnamurthy, to respond to this, please?
Yeah, Mr. Rajkumar, the deferred tax adjustment, after considering the deferred tax adjustment only, there is an actual tax of tax provision, which is higher by this amount. And as I said, there are two reasons. One is tax, the other one is a specific disallowance, which you have taken on a conservative basis. Both these things account for this difference, and this is on the current tax provision after adjusting the deferred tax adjustment. So, if you and I can get into an offline discussion, and I can explain it more in detail if you want an explanation.
Okay, sir, I will do that. I don't want to waste all of your time for the explanation. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Rajkumar. You can send an email to our company secretary who will forward it to our CFO and he will directly take it up with you.
Yes, sir. I will do that, sir. Thank you, sir. Thanks for taking the question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shashank Kanodia from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Could you please help us understand what is the gross debt on books as of March ending FY21 and what will be the trajectory going forward over the next 2 to 3 years?
We are hoping to be neutralize our debt, provided without these lockdowns and other things. We were hoping by FY FY23, but with the way things are standing and the lockdown, I'm not able to clearly predict because, you know, we don't know when this wave is going to lift and is there going to be a third wave and disruptions, because there are even questions saying that if things were normal, and we know that business is going to be the way it is with normal growth rates, we can project. But the gross debt on the books as it stands today forms part of the presentation. But I will also request Mr. Krishnamurthy to, you know, give out the figures. Krishnamurthy, over to you.
We're talking about the gross debt, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So the gross debt is something around 235 crores at the end of 31st March. And we have started bringing it down, and it is already down to 230 crores as of now. As we go along, our prime focus is to generate enough cash and repay as much as possible, first targeting the high-cost debts and then the rest of the loans. But our working capital borrowings will still continue. Currently, we are at, for the working capital, as at the end of March, we have brought it down almost to zero. But as the cash generation requirements go up during the current year, partly cost because of the pandemic, we might slightly go up on that. So working capital borrowing has already been brought down, and the long-term borrowings in a phased manner will be brought down in the current year. Our prime focus is to use our cash generation to repay the debts in the current year.
So in the base case, we should be retaining around 150 crores of gross debt, right, over the next FY22-23. Is this the minimum assumption that we can work with?
That would be very comfortable. That would be an extremely comfortable. Our internal targets are higher.
Because in one of the media interactions, you have...
And also, I would like to state that our CapEx is going to be pretty light in this financial year. So the cash generation will go down to paring down debt.
Right. And sir, one last thing. Sir, are we present in Ola Electric or any thought process since you already have EV-enabled instrument clusters?
We are in talks and developing products for almost all the top 5 EV players in the country. Non-conventional OEM EV players in the country.
But sir, any breakthrough with Ola? Because these guys are really talking big in terms of numbers.
Mr. Kanodia, may I request you please rejoin the queue?
Thank you.
I will take that question. No breakthrough as yet because their first clusters are not coming out of any conventional manufacturer, but we are in discussion. And their programs are also delayed and given to understand. I may be wrong.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manish Srivastava from Avara Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks a lot for the call and for a good set of numbers. Just wanted to understand this asset write-off in the last quarter. That's quite a bulky item. I can see in the cash flow statement almost 10.5 crores of asset write-off. What was the reason for this sudden number? But this 10.5 crores does not add up on the taxable profit. Like the gap between the taxable profit that you suggested of 96 crores versus the 48.5 crores of PBT in the book account. That's a 48 crores is a very large gap to explain from the book and tax depreciation and this asset write-off of subsidiary. So can you explain that? Thanks.
We will answer that question in two parts, Mr. Srivastava. The first part on the asset write-off I will take, and the second part I will request our CFO to answer the question. On the asset write-off, we had got into multiple new programs a few years ago, and one of them was the oxygen sensor, which didn't go through. We were not successful, so we took a call to stop that program and all the assets and the lines and the tools that were developed for that program. And we have terminated the arrangement with Kerdia Technologies, the technology house that we were collaborating with for this program. So all the lines and tools and other assets which were utilized towards this program contributes to almost 85% of this write-off. And the other things are, routine small write-offs of certain tools, etc. So it is because we took a strategic decision not to, you know, any company, we invest in multiple verticals hoping for success. For example, the FPM worked very well for us and has given us 200, 300 crores of sales, or the variable flow pump. And the oxygen sensor was one that didn't yield us the results. And we took a call at a board level and at an operating level to bring that program to a stop and cut our losses on that. So that is the forms bulk of the write-off of that 10-point-odd crores. The second half of the question, I will request Krishnamurthy, our CFO, to answer.
Yeah, I'll take this, Mr. Vikram. Looking at the book profit versus taxable profit, the amount that add up to is the 33 crores of difference between the IT depreciation and the book depreciation. And second one is the 14 crores of write-off of assets. As you know, the only the sale value is getting depreciation from the block of assets value, and not the entire value that has been provided for the asset write-off gets a tax deduction. That's almost another 14 crores. And the third one is the reason which I told about our conscious decision of the interest which is taken for our overseas investments, which we have a doubt whether it will be allowable in terms of a tax deduction. And therefore, we have taken a conservative call, and this amounts to 26 crores. So all these things put together take our taxable profit from the book profit of 46 crores goes up to a taxable profit of close to 120 crores. And after adjusting for the deferred tax, the net deferred tax and also the brought forward depreciation, the net current tax comes to around 33 crores. The deferred tax adjustment which has been done is to the extent of 6 crores, and the 33 crores current tax is after netting off this deferred tax impact.
Thanks a lot. So these are one-time sort of tax
impact. Yeah. All these things are one-time, except that the IT depreciation difference, which may go off in over a period of time as we start increasing our investments.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sunil Jain from Nirmal Bang Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations to the management for outperforming the industry. My question relates to that only. If suppose in the next year industry grow by say X percentage, so at what rate higher we can grow as compared to industry?
Our conservative estimate is at least a delta 10%, sir.
Delta 10% in the sense, if suppose industry grow by 10%, you can grow by 20%.
Yes. That's okay. Because that of the new fine business that we have added and the export businesses that we have added.
So that is something very great to hear from you. And can I go for another question?
If there are, I think there are already a queue. Can I just request you to rejoin the queue, please, so that the other participants also get a chance, please?
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Malaysia from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
So you mentioned about acquiring a software business to add to the capabilities. Just want to understand what could be the size of that acquisition, what are the kind of capabilities that we are looking for, and what could be the potential outlay for that?
Not more than 10 crores, Mr. Shah, because we are looking at a strategic stake, not an outright acquisition. We are looking at acquiring a strategic stake and not a majority stake in a boutique software firm. We are evaluating a few right now. It's gone a little slow because of the current situation, and this could potentially happen only towards the fag end of this financial year. This is only to strengthen our technology abilities to serve our customers better, as our products, especially on the DIS and telematics, are becoming more software rich. So this is not to add turnover directly to the company or anything. This is only to bolster our own in-house technology capabilities. And it will be a strategic and not a controlling stake. That's what we envisaging at this point in time.
Thank you so much. Good luck.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vipul Shah from Sumangal Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Where do you see this contribution of these new initiatives like Caterpillar reaching as a percentage of turnover over next 2-3 years?
It's not just Caterpillar. Are you referring to new initiatives? Because we have launched a lot of products on the FPM, where we are increasing, which has gone from almost 0 to 200 today, which will go again by another 200, 250 crores, including the exports business, etc., over the next 2 years. Ganesh, pardon, correct me if I'm wrong, what FPM business and export business, we have added Delta about 200 crores today, will grow
right
to about 400 to 450 crores over the next 2 years. Correct me if I'm wrong.
That's right. You're right, Vikram.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jaimin Desai from ICICI Direct. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. You've already spoken about some of the headwinds for margins going forward, like the chip shortage or the production losses. So my question is, how do we think about, say, some of the more supportive factors, like maybe increased localization or better product mix going forward? And will we be able to maintain at least the current level of margins over the next couple of years?
As I mentioned, we are confident of these levels of margins, but not for this year, because of the chip shortage and the uncertainties and increase in packing costs, freight costs, many input costs. We are recovering a significant amount, but some of it is also not going recovered based on customer relationships. So there will be a hardening of margins or reduction in margins that I'm expecting for FY22 by anywhere between 150 to 200 basis points, between 1.5% to 2% EBITDA.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sunil Jain from Nirmal Bang Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for this opportunity again. My question relates to semiconductor. So you said that the supply can come back to some extent from September of this year.
Yes, that's what industry experts are predicting, that there will be some degree of normalcy coming back by September. I'm not saying full normalcy, some degree of normalcy, lead times going from 32 weeks back to reasonable time frames, which is why there is going to be continue to be an impact on that. For I personally think in our operating team thinks it's going to be the end of this financial year before complete normalcy comes back.
Okay. So if they had that assumed well, then second half could be a bit normal as compared as against first half.
Provided there is no third wave, which the whole country is now talking about, and selective lockdowns. And, we are estimating that the chip shortages and the resultant cost impacts will continue, maybe not until September, but even until March. I'm being a little more pessimistic outlook there, frankly.
Okay. And so last question is, what could be the tax rate for the whole year next year?
I will request our CFO to take that question, please.
Yeah, we should go back to our normal percentage of around 36 to 37, but for some timing differences because of the depreciation. So close to around 40-42% will be the tax rate, because the other differences are all one time and they are not going to repeat in future.
Okay, fine. This tax rate of 40-42% seems a bit higher.
I'm assuming that the difference between the book depreciation and tax depreciation will continue. So that will increase our. But we are also evaluating our options to move to the lower tax bracket. That evaluation is being done now. So depending on our profit generation in the future years, we may decide to move to the lower tax bracket. But once that is done, it may come down slightly a bit low. I am only talking about the current normal tax rate at this point of time.
kindly request Mr. Jain to please rejoin the queue.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ramanath, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. This is regarding the assets. You have financial assets where you made investments to the tune of 59.47 crores. Can you please elaborate on that? What kind of investments go into it?
I'll request our CFO to take that question.
This reflects our investment in our subsidiary companies, mainly Precal Wiping Systems, where we invested to the extent of 14 crores. This is the only, and also in our overseas subsidiary in Indonesia.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajkumar V, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, thanks for the follow-up. Sir, you mentioned that there will be a 150 to 200 basis points reduction in EBITDA for the upcoming year, 21-22. Just wanted to know, will you be able to, from a value standpoint, will you be able to offset that by way of an increase in top line, given that your export markets must be firing, you know, very well now? So just want to know, will you be able to mitigate the absolute reduction by way of increased exports?
Frankly, we are in an unknown territory right now, Mr. Rajkumar. We never expected our Coimbatore plants to be shut down for so long or our northern plants to be shut down for so long. And we don't know what is going to be the effect, the prolonged effect of this COVID and how much more this impact is going to be there. The COVID impact doesn't linger, yes, the business is going to be higher and the EBITDA contribution should be, from a rupee perspective, higher. But this is subject to this wave of COVID being brought under control, which the way things are spreading, I have my serious doubts.
Okay, sir. I understand.
Because it's not just us. A lot of our suppliers have got affected also. So even if we want to operate, we are having supply chain disruptions and or customer disruptions. If we are willing to operate, customer is disrupted. So it's a very, very dynamic situation. It's quite an uncertain situation where we are unable to predict, unfortunately.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manish Srivastava from Amala Management. Please go ahead.
I am again troubling on the tax issue itself. The losses that we had booked in last 2 years, significant losses, they don't give us any tax shield for future?
Those losses will be capital losses and it will not, it will be adjustable only against capital gains. So they can't adjust against them against business losses.
So they all of them were complete capital losses only. There was no business loss there.
That's right.
No, this was investment made in overseas subsidiaries, which was written off, and we had actually impaired our investments and taken it down. So it is not a business loss that we incurred. It was a capital loss, and in fact, last year we had impaired investments.
Okay. And in your cash flow statement, on discontinued business, you actually have a negative hit on from discontinued business. How is that arising still?
Sorry, come again.
About 10 crores of negative hit on your cash flow from discontinued businesses. How is that happening?
No, we had partial operations coming in the last year, and we completely closed and provided for those losses only in the year 2021. In the year before that, we sold
those businesses only in August 2020. So in this financial year, there are the operating months of April, May, June, July, and August of those businesses.
Okay.
Prior to sales.
So there is about 12-13 crores of cash loss in your consolidated accounts on that account.
Yes. Yeah. For funding prior to the disinvestment for this financial year.
Fair enough.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one.
I think now that we have... Oh, sorry. Sorry, please go ahead.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shashank Nodia from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So, as you rightly mentioned, that we have done good amount of capex in the past. So, what is the peak revenues that we can realize of the current gross block?
About 2,400, about between 2,200 to 2,400 crores basis the product mix.
Right. So in foreseeable future, next 3 years, we should be quite capex right. So it's roughly in the range
next 2 years, after which we will go in for another round of capex because we are developing a certain set of products for the EV vehicles, which are other than the instrument cluster, which we would like to productionalize in FY24. So that... we expect a round of capex to go in at that point of time to keep this level of growth going.
Right. So, capex spending 23 and 22 would be around about what quantum?
We will be 30, 40 crore sustenance capex. This is for constant replenishment of tools and also for productivity improvements and automation. I mean, it's going to be just around that number or even slightly lower.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That was the last question for the day. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Vikram Mohan, Managing Director, for closing comments.
Thank you very much for all your questions and for your support to the company. And I would like to thank, first and foremost, all our employees who have stood with us through this difficult time. And in spite of enormous personal hardships, have been making it to the factories and offices to continue operations. And I would like to express my gratitude to them. And I do hope that this wave of COVID will pass and normalcy may return and may everyone stay safe, healthy. Thank you very much. God bless.
Thank you. On behalf of Concept Investor Relations, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining this conference call. If you have any further queries, please send us an email to gaurav.g@conceptcr.com. Ladies and gentlemen, you may disconnect your lines now. Thank you.